Success begins in the 6 inches between your ears. If you want more money, more time, more happiness, and more love in your life, then listen to The Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Stiles every Tuesday night at 7:15.
Welcome to The Success Show on Mix 93.8 FM with Chris and Suzanne Stiles. We had a fabulous show last week. The interview with James Kahn was absolutely special, and I still have my big entrepreneur crush. Tonight's show is going to be a short show. We have a lovely interview with Aki Kaliatakis as Chris and I are out of town.
Absolutely, Suz. Aki Kaliatakis is just a superb man. What a lovely gentleman. I've met him a number of times, and I just love what this man stands for, his business, the way he conducts business, and how fantastic to see him featured in the lineup of speakers for Millionaire to Billionaire. That's at Sandton Convention Center on the 26th of April. Now, a little bit more about Aki. He is the founder of Leadership Launchpad, and if you want to go and have a look at the website, that is leadershiplaunchpad.co.za. Now, this is a business which focuses on consulting and training, especially in customer loyalty. And he has been in the customer loyalty and customer care game for 23 years. Now, Aki has a degree in psychology, which gave him the basis for understanding people issues at work and how important isn't that given today's workplace and the pressures thereof. And after having worked in many various HR and marketing positions in a number of industries, he eventually chose to take all of his energy, his passion, his knowledge, and his wisdom and plow it into helping businesses to build more successful client strategies, hence Leadership Launchpad. Now, what I like in his bio is that it also says that he's a closet academic, and Aki loves to lecture. He lectures on various MBA and executive development programs at Wits University and Henley Management College, which is based in Reading in the UK. Aki is also a keynote speaker, dispensing his practical advice for delighting customers, and his passionate, humorous, and entertaining style reflects his childhood dream of playing in a rock band. Well, there you go. Now you know quite a bit more about this fascinating gentleman, Aki Kaliatakis. And let's hear what he had to say in the interview that he had on Skype with Suzanne around what really makes him tick, what he will be teaching at Millionaire to Billionaire, and why it is so important to be customer focused and have good customer strategies in place.
I've got Aki Kaliatakis on the line with me. And Aki, I just want to firstly say thank you so much for joining us on the Success Show on Mix 93.8 FM. Welcome.
Thank you, Suzanne, and it's wonderful to be on.
Oh, fabulous. And you know, Aki, who would believe that a few weeks ago when we met you at a friend's birthday party that we would find out that you are going to be on stage at Millionaire to Billionaire at the Sandton Convention Center on the 26th of April. I mean, talk about a small world.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's just one of those things where I choose not to see it as a coincidence. I think the world works in a very particular way, and it's just brilliant.
It is. Now, Aki, I think it's fantastic that at Millionaire to Billionaire, we're going to have a few South Africans on stage. And I'm hoping next year it's going to be me, and I'd love to have James Kahn back because I've got a bit of an entrepreneur crush. But in terms of South Africans being on stage at these wonderful events, what are you going to be sharing with us at Millionaire to Billionaire this year?
Oh, Suzanne, you know, I don't know where to start, but essentially my theme is around, you know, customers and customer care and customer attention. And the reality is that if you take a look at where we're at in our country, we always like criticizing, obviously, the businesses in our country. But there are some businesses that are just doing absolutely fantastically well. And what I'd like to do is to obviously share some of the brilliant stuff, the companies that do go out of their way to delight their customers and some of their secrets, in inverted commas, because when you ask them, it isn't actually a secret, it's just hard work. And then also to share perhaps some of the problems and the mistakes that companies both here and overseas make in terms of the getting the basics wrong and, you know, the sort of things that are perceived by customers as dumb things.
Wow. Now, Aki, one of the things I find is that a lot of times businesses focus on new customers and getting new business in. But really, shouldn't they be having quite a lot of focus on the existing company customer and retaining them? Because surely it's cheaper to keep the customer you have?
Oh, absolutely. And when you take a look at the statistics, and, you know, they vary between various researchers, but the statistics essentially tell us that it's just very expensive to keep acquiring new customers. And the expense is obviously the obvious things of things like advertising and promotions and cutting prices in order to attract customers and so on. But it's also some of the hidden things, such as, for example, the lack of trust. If I'm going to be trying a new brand, that's risky for me as a customer. And so, I'll be doing a lot of homework and comparisons, and needless to say, your company has to be right up at the top there. So companies then have to, you know, do some really dramatic and very expensive stuff to acquire new customers. Once they've got them there, as you've of course correctly identified, there are so many advantages. It usually comes down to four main themes. Obviously, repeat business when they come back again and again, and there are a bunch of consequences to that that are very positive for a company. So, for example, the longer they stay, the more the less price sensitive they become, the more they find ways where we can, as a business, service them. They give us an opportunity, for example, to service them more efficiently, so we reduce our cost to serve the customer. But then there are also other advantages. You spoke a little bit about, you know, the opportunity for cross sales and upsells. They become far more open to that. And then the area of weakness in most organizations, whether it's in South Africa or overseas, is the area of using the power of referrals. In most organizations, we just assume that if our customers are happy, then at some stage they'll probably mention it to a few other people. And we don't actually realize that at some point, if we take control of that situation without manipulating, obviously, but if we take control of that situation, then using the power of referrals means that we may never, ever have to cold call again. We may never, ever have to pay for advertising again. And for me, those four themes are what really make it worthwhile. They have financial implications. They have implications relating to, for example, the reputation of the business, and needless to say, it builds trust and, you know, all of the good stuff, the sort of Richard Branson type stuff is what I like to call it.
Oh, that's fantastic. And, you know, it is something that needs to be focused on, because we do, as consumers in South Africa, have a tendency to complain, but we don't go and complain and let the company know. We complain by letting all our friends know, by perhaps taking to social media. And, you know, in fact, myself, I've resorted to social media a couple of times to get somebody's attention when I can't get a response. But, Aki, where did this passion for customer service, customer loyalty, and customer care come from?
Oh, in my particular case, it was quite a clear thing. I think I was born with it, but I just didn't know it. What happened is, a long, long time ago, I was working in my last job, I was in the HR sort of function, and really, it was just full of, you know, hostile relationships with unions and so on. So I popped into the marketing director's office, and I said to him, you know, I'd like a job in marketing. So he looked at me and he said, I'm afraid, you know, I can't trust you if you haven't carried a briefcase. So I said to him, what do you mean? He said, well, if you are serious about this, you will have to become a sales rep for a few months. You need to at least go out there and sell for 6 months before I can trust you. So I kind of, you know, thought to myself, you know, this is really beneath me. You know, I didn't study all those years, 6 years, to go and be a sales rep. The problem was that it was the best job I've ever had. I just loved it. And we were in the pharmaceutical environment, which had its own challenges. But at the same time, so much business came in from tenders and the tendering process that it was maintaining the relationships, making sure that our clients were happy. And in those days, and I'm talking about 25, 30 years ago, you know, customer service wasn't even spoken about. We just assumed that it happened naturally. In fact, the very first book on customer customer service called Sold on Service, written by Phil Forrest, was published around 1986 or 1987. And it just felt right for me. Now, I was lucky enough that when I went back to his office about 9 months later, in fact, he called me back. He said, write your own job description. And somehow in that process, we didn't call it in those days customer retention, customer care, customer loyalty, or even customer management. We just, called it service. But in that process, I realized that there was a massive gap for this. And of course, I'm at that point, you know, when the sun rises and you see that first little glimmer and you know the whole day is ahead. I promise you, 25 years later, that's how I feel. I feel that there's so much we don't know about customers. You know, the statistics, the things that work, the things that don't work, what customers really want. There's a whole science behind it that is still waiting to be discovered. And that's what gets me up in the morning.
Well, you know what I find so interesting about what you've said there is that if you think about it, in today's environment, the customer is more in charge than ever before because you can do so much research via the internet on that, you know, the absolute golden oracle being Google. You've got access to companies' websites, companies' Facebook accounts, companies' Twitter, and all forms of social media. So, in fact, they can do so much research before you as a salesman are getting in the door. So looking after them and making them the king is more important than ever.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, in terms of the way sales are going today, the sales rep is expected to educate the client and to, you know, say things like, there are some questions that you haven't asked me. You are moving in the wrong direction and things like that. I must tell you, as you were talking, I just remembered there was a chap by the name of Chris Anderson, who is the editor of Wired magazine. And he published a book recently. And he basically made this point. He said, you know, there's a generation of customers, younger people out there today who are used to doing their, you know, buying through search engines like Google. And he made a point. He said the company's brand is not what the company says it is, but what Google says it is. So here we are trying to manage our brand and, you know, create all these amazing images, but actually it's what Google says it is. But there was one sentence that stuck in my mind, which I really love. And he said, you know, word of mouth is about this whole public conversation and carried on in blog comments and Facebook and everywhere. And he said, the ants have megaphones now. And I just love that because even the smallest customer today is able to talk to literally, in some cases, millions of customers. One of the most popular videos on YouTube, for example, relates to a bad experience which a customer had on an airline in the United States. The video is a really pathetic little song, but it's been downloaded millions and millions of times. And it's, you know, it's called United Breaks Guitars, if anyone's interested. But all that this guy did, a muso, had his guitar broken by United Airlines in the United States, and they were just indifferent to his complaint. So he wrote a song about it. And the next thing, the song went viral, and suddenly things like, you know, cancellations of flights, customers never coming back again happened. But even worse for United, their share price, their market capitalization dropped by billions of dollars and has never recovered. And this is the power of today's customers. Single customers have a megaphone in which to, you know, announce what their experiences are like.
Well, it's actually incredible to think of that because I know that last year there were a couple of instances where big brands in South Africa didn't respond to certain customer complaints or queries. And I know that one of our beloved upmarket food stores took a bit of a pounding from both a supplier and a designer. And in terms of how they responded, it wasn't so much what they did. It was what they didn't do by nipping it in the bud at the time in terms of that customer experience. And it's absolutely essential. And I do agree with you that I love that concept that the ants have a megaphone. So no more is it your multi-million rand client who you need to be paying attention to. You actually need to pay attention to the little guy with a legitimate exactly. question or, exactly. or commentary. I mean, you're always going to get what's the kids call it? You're always going to get the haters. You're always going to get somebody that moans. But you've got to look after the guys that are good for you.
Absolutely, there's no doubt about that. You know which the most popular website is in South Africa? Hello,
really?
Peter.com. 18 million hits every month. 18 million people get onto HelloPeter.com every month. Now, they may not see your comment about that particular takeaway, but there's probably a good chunk of people who will see that. And, of course, it's very sad, as you said at the beginning of this interview, that you send letters and emails and they're ignored. But it's only when you get onto something like HelloPeter.com or a Facebook or a Twitter comment, and then suddenly the company pays attention when it's too late.
It is, because not only have they permanently lost you, people are become disenfranchised with brands that continuously ignore the little guy. And it's very interesting because a few years back, I myself actually used Hello Peter and got a result, a very positive result, which, you know, when we spoke to the company afterwards, we said to them, why was it necessary to let it get this far? And the most worrisome thing for me was that they didn't have an answer. Now, on a big scale, you know, big corporates, they have budgets for this, they have budgets for training, but we specialize in the show in an audience of entrepreneurs and small business people, local businesses within the Midrand area and then the expanse of the broadcast area through to Centurion, Krugersdorp, part of the north of Johannesburg, through to Centurion. And then we do podcast the show out and spread the word via LinkedIn and all the social media, because we like to teach as many entrepreneurs and small business people out there some skills and tips. So, Aki, can I ask you, what would be the essential, let's say, three things that a small business must do in terms of customer loyalty and customer relationships?
Wow, Suzanne, that's you've really caught me nicely there. I think, you know, at its most basic, you know, find out what your customers want. Do your best to give it to them better than your competitors do, and keep checking to make sure you're on track. But I know you're looking for some specific things, and if you will allow me, there actually are four things. Okay, the first, and if you can imagine it like a table where the tabletop is, you know, sustainable levels of customer loyalty. The table rests on a foundation, and that is getting the basics incredibly right. So, you know, whether you want to call them smooth moments of truth or touch points, whatever it is, we've got to kill the dumb contacts in our business. We've got to make sure that every single little touch point goes smoothly for the customer, and make sure that things like names are spelled correctly and orders go out and, you know, all of those basic things. That is hard for companies, but it's the foundation on which everything rests. But the bad news is that even with that, even if we go out of our way to get the basics incredibly right, it's still the equivalent of a 3-star hotel. So now, to bridge the gap between the foundation and, you know, the sustainable levels of customer loyalty, which is the desirable thing, there are three other things that I think need to happen. First of all, some companies have the luxury of being able to create high barriers to switching. So that includes things like contracts and warranties and, you know, software and hardware that keeps the customer hooked in. And, of course, from that point of view, if you have the luxury in your company to do that, that's fantastic. The problem is, though, that some customers will feel bound by that. They'll feel like hostages. And so you've got to then do the other two. The other two are, first of all, to make sure that you give me evidence that the relationship is important to me. So a stupid little example. If people say to me, what's your account number? Inevitably, what I say is, my account number is KALLIATAKIS. And I say, but that's not an account number. You know, no, because I'm not an account. That's my name. I'm a human being here. And so it's not enough to put up in the foyer a big poster saying, you know, our customer is king or queen, and, you know, we love our customers. You've got to give me evidence that the relationship is important. And that comes obviously through communication, listening, remembering all the little examples of things that are important to me, where I was on holiday, whatever it is. It doesn't take much to build those relationships and empathy. And of course, the basic things like courtesy and so on. And then the final of those four factors is then to constantly and continuously come up with little innovative ways to add value for customers. When I talk customer loyalty, my clients say, oh, what must we do? Must we buy them some nice fancy jackets or send them on holiday to Mauritius? And I say, in fact, no. On the contrary, those kinds of things tend to cheapen the relationship. What customers are looking for are the little things that make a big impact on their lives. So the word value obviously is important. And the best news is that so many of the things that have a high impact on customers cost little or nothing at all. So from that point of view, apart from the typical relationship type stuff, it's also about things like teaching them something, showing them shortcuts, sharing information that they wouldn't normally have access to. Amazon is the example that we all like to use as consultants. But, you know, when I get onto the Amazon page, hello, Aki. These recommendations are based on books that you already own. You know, and then, of course, they appeal to things like my sense of stinginess, for example, by saying, we have it new and it's cheaper than you'll get it at the bookshop. But by the way, we've also got 26, you know, used ones, which are in a good condition, which you can pick up for $10. And, you know, if you're a bookshop, how do you, you know, compete with that? How do you compete with the fact that you can read the reviews of, you know, 178 other people who have given it a star rating and you can, you know, pick the worst ones or the best ones? This is how the world has changed. And the value innovations may, if you really want to, you know, do the holiday in Mauritius thing or a new website, may cost a bit of money. But the reality is the things that have an impact on their hearts are the things that are simple and very cheap. You know, another one which I really have a problem with is all these – there's a proliferation at the moment of these reward programs, loyalty cards, whatever you want to call them. One of the banks – and this is the only one which I've been able to confirm – one of the banks, in terms of getting theirs going, spent something like 350 million rand before they even gave away 1 point. You know, it was the software and the hardware and training of people and brochures and making sure. I mean, that's a huge amount of money. There was a rumor which was quoted in the Financial Mail by I just had a blank on his name. But he said that Pick n Pay paid 1.5 billion rand for their program. And at the end of the day, you know, if your competitors start copying you, then you've lost your advantage. So,
and incredible thought, because you know, to me personally, I mean, for a start off, a small business couldn't compete with that. There's no way. But if you think about it, really, what in terms of the loyalty, what it costs, I mean, surely customers would actually just prefer that 350 million rand or the 1.5 billion that was rumored to be spent by a big supermarket chain is such that, you know, rather pass it back in better costs for us, you know, better offers for us. I mean, you know, actually, you know, the one that you mentioned, I have that loyalty card and I do swipe it when I go. It doesn't mean I go there any more often or any less frequently. Because of how I conduct my business, I shop where I am. So it's not something where I personally, every day, because of being on the road, go to one singular shop. You know, I'm sure I'm probably the exception. I'm not the norm. Most people have a favorite. You know, I mean, I do on the weekends. I have my favorite store and that's where I go. But during the week, when you're rushed and you're in a hurry, if you've got to get the groceries in, you're going to get them where you are. But that's an incredible thing to think that much money is invested into it. And there are so many things. I mean, I can refer to a small one, it may seem, to somebody, to many people. And even though I know it's computer generated, I appreciate the birthday wishes I get from companies that I have bought from, whether they be via text or whether they come through on an email. I don't feel that it lessens the wish because it's generated on a system. I just think, wow, that's really nice. They did take my details down properly. Their system is working. They've wished me happy birthday and things like that. And these things are important to business. And small businesses can do those things. They can take into consideration where your kids go to school or things like this and find ways to interact. Now, Aki, I've just been having a look at some of the names that you've worked with, and you've worked with some really, really super super global blue chip companies. Now, and I was absolutely astonished when you said that customer service or books on customer service only started sort of really making it to the fore in the mid 80s. Is it something that the bigger companies are focusing on more of now because they believe that it, and I'm sorry, this is a little bit of a double-edged question, is it because they are more concerned about their customer base being eroded, or does there appear to be a more genuine desire for big business to serve some of their clients?
You know, Suzanne, the answer to that one for me is very simple. There is a small percentage of companies, there are a few CEOs that genuinely, truly care about their customers, and they are doing it because they believe in it and because they know that it's obviously more profitable. But by far the majority of organizations that would invite me in are doing it because they are taking losses,
okay,
if we can put it that way. They are using it as a competitive tool to either match their competitors or to have some kind of an advantage. But they're doing it because they are bleeding, because they are finding that they're losing customers wholesale. They need to do something about the number of complaints that are coming in. They're doing it because some young upstart competitor, usually a small entrepreneur, is taking their business away from them. So there's absolutely no doubt in my mind. And I'm talking about, you know, organizations like the large banks, the large retailers, the large cell phone companies and so on. They're doing it for desperation. There's a company, I might tell you, this summarized it all so well for me, a company which of course will remain nameless, but where the chief executive said to me, you know, you've got to give them some training, meaning his employees, because I'm getting pressure from the mother company overseas and I need to show them that I've done something. Okay. And I said to him, you know, don't waste your money, because you might as well do that. Then you might as well just print a few posters, put them up in the foyer, and then you've done something. If there's a genuine deep desire to change the culture of your organization, which accepted is a very difficult thing to do, but if there's a deep desire, then you have to be there. I think it was Tom Peters who said there are only two ways in which I as an employee can judge if this is important to the boss. Number one, how much money did he spend on it? And number two, what is he always talking about? What are the conversations about? In one particular company, I just loved this, the employees would take bets about whether the boss in his next meeting was going to be talking about customer service or not. And eventually, a few months later, they weren't prepared to take bets anymore, because he made it, he was determined, and he made it a policy in the company that at the top of every agenda of every meeting would be customers. The first item we discuss is customers. Customers came up all the time. And eventually they weren't prepared to take the bets anymore, because they said, well, we know what it's going to be. He was going to talk about customer service. And he would do the MBWA thing and wander around and ask people, what project are you working on? And who are your customers? And, you know, are they happy? And what's your customer satisfaction score? So we need to take it seriously. But mostly they're taking it seriously because they don't want to bleed anymore because of the power of customers. You know, I personally believe that the good old days are over, and what used to work so well in the past, unfortunately, is finished now. And there's just the good old days are, I'm afraid, over. They're, for some companies, these are the good old days, and they just are taking massive advantage. But for most organizations, we thought that the good times would last forever, and unfortunately,
well, it's
they
quite
didn't.
Interesting because I. Having been in the media world myself and being a media owner in my past, I'm very aware of the kind of budgets that are invested into above-the-line trends, traditional advertising.
Yes.
And part of our training as well, the amount of messages that we get accosted with on a daily basis. It was very interesting for me to read, from your information that it's 5,000 marketing messages per day across all media. And it just becomes something where you actually tune out. I mean, my background was in the out-of-home media industry. And now, I even find myself tuning out of my favorites, and that being billboard advertising. Because if that message is not strong enough, striking enough, clear enough, short enough to grab my attention, even as the passenger, I'm not going to give it the time of day, because I don't have the time.
Yes, yes. I think it was Seth Godin who said advertising is the price that we pay for being boring. So it's a wonderful thing. So if you don't create those experiences and give your customers great value, then you have to advertise. And by the way, I'm not an anti-advertising person. I still believe that there is lots of room for advertising. But the reality is, if you're Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola, you have the budgets to do what you need to do. But the majority of the others just simply don't have the budget for it. And advertising then becomes what is used by the large organizations to make the price of entry into our industry more expensive. So they're saying, you want to compete with us? That's fine, but you're going to have to find the budget. It's not necessarily true that, you know, they're going to be selling more of what they do, the beverages or whatever it is. But what happens is that they're saying, we've got a presence out there and you're unknown. And if you want to come in here, you'll have to become known. Of course, these days we have the word of mouth that that makes companies become well known, and it's just a no-brainer. It's just a no-brainer there.
No, absolutely. And if you think about, I read a wonderful piece in a book recently, Branding Small Business for Dummies, where it actually said, you know, look at the internet. Everybody's website is the same size on your computer screen, tablet screen, laptop screen, whatever it is. So how about engaging with your customers and really getting into the online world in a far superior way? Because it doesn't matter which brand you are, it doesn't matter how famous you are, how much money you have. If you've got a 15-inch screen, that's the size that brand is on your screen. So I think that's something to think about for small businesses.
Absolutely. Now, absolutely. Yeah. And by the way, the small businesses, if we could just go back in the conversation a little bit. You know, the show is aimed at entrepreneurs. The millionaire to billionaire event is aimed at entrepreneurs, obviously. When it comes to that, I think that smaller businesses have a massive advantage over the large businesses. They make the rules as they go along. They don't have policies and procedures, and you don't have to fill in the forms and so on. And they have a lot more flexibility and responsiveness to customers. But also what tends to happen is, when I think of large organizations, all right, it's hard to do business with them. There's a lot of effort that is involved. Let's just take banking or cell phones. If I redo my contract, if I go pick up my credit card, I've got to take a municipal statement, and we've got to do all the RICA and FICA and I don't know what else, you know, fill in the forms, how many hairs have you got on your big toe, and, you know, all of this ridiculous stuff. Whereas a small businessman doesn't need all of those things, doesn't need you to fill in forms. You know, it's got a contract which, if it exists, is written in English rather than Latin, might not even have a website. But what happens is that at four levels, the physical level, it becomes easier to deal with them, less effort. At the mental, intellectual level, there's no time for, you know, complicated instructions. At the emotional level, where, you know, there's no sense of humiliation because we're in this together. I'm not going to use my power to make you feel small as a customer. And then finally, in terms of the time effort, and I'm not suggesting that all small businesses are perfect. I mean, I've had horrific experiences with various plumbers and electricians and small shops and so on. But if a small business wants to know how they take on the big guys, they've got to do it in, you know, in the area where they can. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, David didn't, you know, he chose to fight Goliath, but he didn't choose to wrestle him. You know what I mean? He said, I'm going to pick this fight.
Yes,
and, of course, won in quite a dramatic fashion. So it's making it easy.
Well, it's a wonderful way to – that is a wonderful analogy of saying it. You know, if you are going to take on the big guys, do it by just choosing well the tools that you choose to do it. And that's wonderful. Aki, thank you so much for joining us on The Success Show on Mix 93.8 FM.
Thank you, Suzanne. It's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for giving me the chance to
talk to
you.
No, that's wonderful. And Aki, we look forward to seeing you. It's on the 26th of April. That's on Saturday in 2 weeks' time. If you'd like to look at getting tickets, it is mtob.co.za. You can see a lovely lineup of international speakers and, of course, our very own Aki Kaliatakis. Aki, thank you and goodbye.
Thank you, Suzanne, and thank you, listeners.
Well, what a fascinating interview that was. And once again, Aki, thank you for sharing those pearls of wisdom with us and our audience. I know that people are absolutely signing up to go to Millionaire to Billionaire. Once again, the website is mtob.co.za. You can also follow them on Twitter, where there's a hashtag M2, that is the number 2B2014. We've sent out quite a number of tweets around that. And this is just going to be a spectacular event. And how nice it is to see Aki headlining this event for South Africa. Fantastic gentleman and a really, really wonderful man in terms of his knowledge on business and where he comes from around wanting to change the face of business in South Africa for the better, especially from a consumer perspective. Now, this is going to be a fascinating event. And in the earlier weeks, you heard Mike Douglas, the Forex trading expert, chatting to me. That was then followed up with an interview with Daniel Miller, who is a sales and client retention expert, also very, very strong on how to systemize your business and optimize your business for maximum performance and how to really set up systems to be able to extract real value. Last week, we heard from James Kahn. Oh my goodness, what an incredible interview. Throughout his entire interview with Suzanne, I was just sitting there taking notes. And I think the thing that just resonated with me so strongly was that you do not have to win at all costs in business. Find a win-win solution. And I just loved that, because really that is talking about ecological business, not just business for the sake of being there to rape, pillage and plunder the market, if you will. Then you've just heard from Aki Kaliotakis, and there are more speakers that we hope to be able to bring interviews with to you over the next couple of days and in the week leading up to this event, which is on the 26th of April. From Chris Stiles and the Success Show, thank you once again for listening. And we are currently in Thorny Bush at the moment teaching our leadership seminar, which is called Mind Power Safari. Next week, we'll be back live in studio. Have a wonderful week. And remember, the most important thing that you can do in business is to be sure that you're making a difference and serving the interests of others. And as a leader, always remember, great leaders serve.
Success begins in the 6 inches between your ears. If you want more money, more time, more happiness, and more love in your life, then listen to The Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Stiles every Tuesday night at 7:15.